What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 141 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. We are coming to you live pre-Thanksgiving. We have a fantastic episode for you tonight. Bungie was kind enough to go ahead and drop the TWAB earlier, and there was actually no news of note other than the fact that there is going to be a Dawning reveal, Season of the Dawn, live stream reveal on, I believe that's Thursday the 4th. Right. Is that what that is? It's next week?
December 4th, yeah. Just 6 days before the Season of the Dawn goes live on December 10th.
So they're keeping this stuff close to the chest. If it's anything like what has happened in previous Bungie iterations, the winter content drop always seems to be one of the larger content drops. Of course, the spring one being not very large, and then the summer one again being large. So let's keep our fingers crossed for some good stuff. Let's keep our fingers crossed for SRL. But in the meantime, we are going to be doing an Altars of Sorrow weapon breakdown. There's only three weapons from the Altars of Sorrow: a sniper, a slug shotgun, and a rocket launcher. But good news is all three of the weapons are fantastic. So we're going to be talking about that tonight. But first, let's get the introductions out of the way. As always, I'm your host, Mercules, joined tonight by Kit Kutcha. And Kit Kutcha, I hope that you are doing well tonight.
Well, I'm going to be honest. I've had far better Thanksgiving weeks than I'm having this week. As some people listening are probably already aware, my grandfather passed away yesterday, so it's been an emotional couple of days. I was fairly close to him, especially when I was younger, and he actually helped raise me when I was a baby. So it's pretty upsetting, but life goes on, and I know one thing, and that's that he was always proud of me, pursuing my goals and my interests, and I don't think he would want me to sit around all week being sad. I think he'd want me to keep doing the things that I love, and this podcast is one of those things, so that's why I'm here tonight.
It really means a lot that you would still be here tonight after suffering a loss like that, and I'm very, very sorry to hear about the circumstances.
Thanks, Ben.
I do appreciate you showing up, and you know, obviously, as I was saying to you earlier today, if you didn't want to do this, you didn't have to at all. I completely understand, but you were adamant that we do one, so here we are recording tonight, and you know, I'm appreciative of it, and I know all the listeners are appreciative of it, and you know, I already saw you got a lot of love from people on Twitter, and I'm sure you know Discord will be the same. It's very nice to have a community that can rally behind you and support you when you have things like that happen. So
yeah, no, I appreciate it. I appreciate you saying that, and everyone who's had something kind to say to me, it means a lot to know that people care, and it means a lot for me to be able to share a little bit of his memory with people. So thank you. But let's let's change subjects. Move on to maybe a happier note here and talk about some crazy good weapons and stuff in video game land.
Yeah, and housekeeping wise, I don't think we have any housekeeping this week. No new iTunes reviews. Remember, if you guys want to have your review read out loud, all you gotta do is leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We will read it out, give you a personal response. We always really appreciate it. Anytime you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, it helps us out unbelievably immensely. It is just super, super great for you guys to do that. And as always, we'll read them out loud and say thank you or respond if you leave us something that is not five stars, but we really appreciate the five star reviews the most. So none of those. Do we have any new patron news or sponsor news?
So we don't have anything on that front this week. However, we do have some important housekeeping. For once, I am going to remember to announce some winners on air. Recently, we did a giveaway. Bungie did their Game to Give charity drive, and we made some donations on behalf of the podcast, and ended up with an extra couple of codes for a Gilded Ghost and a Mist Blossom emblem. So we gave those away on Twitter, asked people to follow and like the charities involved, and we had a pretty good response. I think we ended up having over 224 entries. So thank you to everybody who went out there and followed one of these charities and gave them kind of some social love, even if you couldn't always give them financial love. And congratulations to @Mozarki and @FarhanTG786 for winning. I've already contacted both winners and distributed the prizes. They were both very happy to receive them, and I'm very happy to have been able to share, like I said, a little bit of love with some great charities. And yeah, so that's I think that's our housekeeping for today. Oh, we have one more thing. We had talked maybe about doing a little bit of a Black Friday sale this week. Try and get the logo and the podcast out there on some more people's backs and mugs and maybe laptops if you pick up a sticker. So we've got a code for you, and that is going to be massive. Code massive for 20% off. So this is essentially giving everyone who's listening a patron discount through December 6th. So that's going to carry you right up until the week before Season of the Dawn. So take advantage of that if you've ever thought about picking up some Massive Breakdown merch. We've got all kinds of awesome shirt designs. Special shout out to Alicia Rose Art for doing our podcast art. She is amazing. And we've got some pretty sweet stuff. I'm actually looking at picking up some stuff myself. I don't have to pay the full rate, of course. I can order samples, but I feel like Black Friday's a good time to pick up some canvases for the office, so.
Yep, I've got two canvases in my office. I've got about three or four Massive Breakdown shirts that I wear. I've got about 100 stickers that I have strewn in various places of my house and on various pieces of gear. So definitely give that a shot. And remember, if you guys are a patron, it's about that time. It's about the holiday season, which means patron gifts will be on the way soon enough. We actually posted a poll up in the Discord saying, do you guys want a shirt or do you maybe want a pint glass? Which is something we thought about doing, getting some custom etched or custom engraved pint glasses that we send out with the logo on it, which would be pretty dope too.
Yeah, I threw a couple other ideas out there as well, but those two are the ones that have resonated with people, and it's leaning towards shirts, but it's close enough that I'm sort of considering doing both and letting people pick this year. So we'll...
Because I would want a pint glass for myself, honestly. Yeah. I would definitely use that.
I feel like, you know, if we have enough people interested, we can get a pretty good deal on those glasses, and I would really like one. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes, but it looks like people still like their shirts.
No. All right, and last of the housekeeping, as always, thank you to our patrons. Thank you to our sponsors, Goose and Zinzo Cow. Those guys are the ones who keep it a viewer-hosted podcast, basically, or a viewer-supported podcast, as opposed to us having to pick up any one of a number of CD sponsors out there who could force you to have to listen to commercials. So thank you so much to you guys. We always really appreciate it. And I think without further ado, we could probably break into the weapons breakdown.
Let's do it.
I actually think that might have been one of the fastest housekeeping things we've done. It only took like 8 minutes, and usually we're far, far further along than that. So I'm glad we got that done quickly. All right, so Altars of Sorrow. Kit Kutcher told you how to play this a few episodes back. He gave you some tips and tricks. We actually have three weapons that are coming out of this. A rapid-fire sniper, a shotgun that's precision slug, and a rocket launcher.
And I want to throw in, this was pointed out to me that I did not make this clear enough when we talked about Altars of Sorrow. So I got to throw one more tip out there. In the final round, the boss occasionally goes immune. When the boss goes immune, a whole bunch of nightmares rush the center. The portal or whatever it is, you know, the altar that you're guarding. Don't spend all your heavy on an immune boss. Spend that heavy wiping out those nightmares before they end your run prematurely. Just, you have to be aware. That boss is... he's kind of a pain in the butt if you're not paying attention. So you just gotta be smart. Use some heavy, and then maybe switch to an effective primary or special option so you don't blow your entire load of ammunition on an immune target, because there's going to be a whole passel of nightmares coming at you in just a second, and if you are just totally out of ammunition, well, that's unfortunate.
Well, I can tell you right now that as a complete and total blueberry, I will not do that. because I have played Gambit, and just because the boss is immune in Gambit does not mean that I don't waste my heavy ammo on the boss there as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, blueberries are blueberries for a reason.
Well, if you know a blueberry who's doing that, make them listen to the first 10 minutes of this episode, and their lives will hopefully become more meaningful.
It'll really be the other people who they're playing with's lives who will be impacted. Yeah. Because the thing about blueberries is they don't know that they're doing it wrong. They're just happy to be alive, right? They're the guardian who's just been rezzed and doesn't know what's going on. But enough about blueberries. Enough about dirty things like blowing loads. Let's talk about weapons. Start with a sniper rifle. It is a rapid fire, very similar to the Omniscient Eye from the Guardians of the Salvation Raid. Actually, really, really similar to the Omniscient Eye. Better. In my opinion, it's called Apostate. It is an energy, it's an arc sniper. In terms of pros, high reload speed, high mag size, high inventory, high handling, high aim assist, low base zoom. Neutral, just average stability. Cons, the only con, and this is typical for a rapid fire sniper rifle, low range. Doesn't have great range. Time between shots, 0.43 seconds. It does 326 to a crit, 101 to the body. Remember, it can two-tap. Like I mentioned before, there is a small contingent of Guardians who play PvP on PC, double-tapping with the 140 snipers to the body because there is so much stability over there that it is super, super easy. Not quite as easy on console. Don't really recommend specking into that. That's not a really great way to play a sniper. It's kind of more a crutch thing. But if we're looking at the stats of this, I said it was like Omniscient Eye. This is how similar it is. Apostate, 42 range. Omniscient Eye, 43 range. Apostate, 47 stability. Omniscient Eye, 42 stability. Reload speed, 65 to 61. Handling, 69 to 73. Inventory, 51 to 44. Aim assist, 73 to 72. Mag size, 5 for both. Lowest zoom, 40 for both. So these guns are like very, very, very close. The Apostate is just ever so slightly better. A little bit higher reload speed, a little bit higher stability, little bit higher inventory, a little bit higher aim assist, and then slightly worse handling by about 4, worse range by 1. Those things don't really matter that much because the perk set on this bad boy is absolutely disgusting, right? So we've got the typical barrels. As we all know with sniper rifles, what are we looking for in barrels? Well, handling, first and foremost. You want to get that handling speed up as much as you possibly can. The rapid fires come with pretty decent handling, but you always want to increase it as much as possible. The one exception is if you get quick draw and trait slot 2, you don't necessarily need handling at that point in time, right? Because quick draw basically darn near maxes out your draw speed and your ADS speed and stuff like that. But if you get snapshot and trait slot 2, all snapshot does is your ADS speed. So if you get snapshot, you're definitely going to want something like fluted barrel or arrowhead break or maybe corkscrew rifling because those are the barrels that affect handling and you cannot get a handling effect in the magazine. So it's really up to you to do it in barrels. Now, if you do get quick draw, maybe instead of going handling, you go range for the barrels, something like hammerforged rifling. And the reason you would go range is, of course, because you want that stickiness out just a little teeny tiny bit further. You want to push that accuracy cone out. You basically want to make the gun more effective because you actually can start to notice aim assist drop off and the gun being inaccurate with these rapid fire snipers. If you've played with the Twilight Oath, you know that for a fact because Twilight Oath has really low zoom. But there are places where you feel like you're aiming directly at someone and you miss. It's because the accuracy cone is expanded larger than the size of the target and range will help that. For the magazine, accurized rounds, again, we want range right there. The other options are things like tactical mag, steady rounds, flared magwell. Accurized rounds to me is just head and shoulders above. For trait 1, you got firmly planted, you got outlaw, you got moving target. I'm going with moving target. Moving target to me is a tier 1 PvP perk. And this gun, 100%, it's not like Omniscient Eye, where Omniscient Eye was like, oh, we kind of want you to kill ads with this gun. This gun is like, we want you to take this into PvP and we want you to use it. We're giving you moving target. We're giving you quick draw or snapshot, fluted barrel, accurized rounds. This is, if you get every perk, it's pretty much the god roll for snipers in PvP.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real good sniper. Like, and there was a time when I looked at a sniper like this and I thought, boy, that's going to be great for somebody else. But I spent so much time sniping, playing Revoker that now I look at this gun and I'm like, yeah, I could make some use of that. I could do a little work. I'm not used to playing with the rapid fires. But when I have tried them out, I definitely know what you mean about the aim assist drop off becoming a factor on some maps because I'm so used to having the high impact, very long range snipers. That's just I typically play with the Iron Banner sniper, whose name is escaping me at the moment for some reason, even though it's I don't know. I got how many no Lord knows how many headshots for me.
That bite of the fox.
Yeah, wow. Whew. A little brain fart, but yeah, I've spent a lot of time with an opening shot bite of the fox that I picked up in the very first Iron Banner it was available. And boy, you can really tell the difference when you go to a rapid fire. It's a big deal. So I would definitely be looking for quick draw and then trying to pick up Hammerforge rifling and accurized rounds in the barrel and the magazine. I feel like that is going to make the biggest difference for people, but I couldn't be mad at a snapshot sights role either. So really
Absolutely
solid.
not. And for those of you who are looking for a comparison to something a little bit more old school, the Supremacy, which comes from Last Wish, is probably most people's go-to rapid-fire sniper rifle. The Supremacy really has just a phenomenal sight picture through the scope. It's got what looks like one of the old school Taxus scopes from D1, but it's really low zoom. It's down at 40, which is really nice. The differences, if you want to compare, Supremacy has 32 range, so Apostate is 10 over that. Apostate has 9 more stability, has 3 more reload speed, it has 1 more handling, it has 9 more inventory. It does have 4 less aim assist, but Twilight, or sorry, the Supremacy has basically the highest aim assist of any legendary sniper besides Alone as a God, which is the year one Leviathan sniper, and then the same zoom at 40. So if you're thinking, man, I really love the Supremacy, but I want to upgrade to something else, or maybe you didn't get a great role in Supremacy and you really don't want to grind Last Wish out, Apostate is definitely the one for you. It does have a curated role that can drop. The curated role, it's like they were like, oh shoot, we need to do something for PvE too. So they give you Fluted Barrel and they give you Accurized Rounds, which is awesome because those are two great perks. But then they give you Shield Disorient and Rapid Hit,
Yeah, that's just
which
weird.
are, yeah, it's not going to be effective at all for PvP. And that's funny because like Fluted Barrel and Accurized Rounds are two PvP centric, barrel and mag perks. Like you wouldn't use Accurized Rounds in PvE, you would use something like Tactical Mag or Flared Magwell. So it's kind of a mismatch. So I do not recommend the curated if you do so happen to get it to drop. But if you can grind out a random roll that's got good perks on it, 100% grab that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, next up, we've got a precision slug shotgun, the Blasphemer.
The only kinetic precision slug that is
Yeah,
not the Chaperone.
which actually was going to be the next thing I said, and it's pretty friggin' exciting, to be honest, to have another kinetic option and a non-exotic kinetic precision slug, which honestly, I'm surprised we hadn't seen one of yet. That's really pretty shocking, given. The whole idea is that it's a slug shotgun firing like
Yeah, a
a
metal
big
ball, you would
chunk
think it's
of
not
metal.
energy.
But apparently they've all been big chunks of energy to date, and so here we are. As with most precision slug shotguns, pros very high range, stability, and handling. In the neutral section, just average mag size, inventory, and reload speed, and of course low aim assist. Time between shots 0.93 seconds. Rate of fire 65. And then let's do you have a comparison pulled up for this gun?
Yeah, so it actually stands on its own. So it's every once in a while, like you have archetypes, and then within the archetype you have sub archetypes, right?
Yeah.
So far we've only had energy precision slug shotguns, and they've all been the same archetype. High range, really high handling, really low aim assist. That's what they've all been, right? Now this one is a little bit different. It still has high range, but not great range. But then it just has above average aim assist comparatively for the archetype. So the handlings for the precision slug shotguns, for like first in, last out, is the lowest one that we currently had, or that we previously had, which is at 64. And then the highest one was good bone structure, which is at 69. But then Blasphemer has handling down at 49.
Yeah.
So it's real low. It's a full 15 lower than the next previous one. But then the aim assist is at 61, whereas previously the highest aim assist was on good bone structure, and it was at 35
yeah.
for a slug shotgun.
That's insane.
So this thing has almost double the aim assist of any other slug shotgun, and that is massive because that makes it feel like Chaperone. That's why Chaperone is so incredibly good, is because of the massive amount of aim assist on it. And this gun is going to be the gun that feels the closest to Chaperone. So Chaperone's aim assist is 70. So you can see how that comparison is very, very valid. Now, that being said, the rolls on this gun are phenomenal.
Holy crap.
Yeah. I mean, even the curated. The curated is God roll just right off the bat.
Yeah, let's just start with the curated perks, because it's basically, I mean, you don't want anything else. You just want the curated roll.
Right, so the curated roll, hammer forged rifling, accurized rounds, quick draw opening shot. You basically can't get better perks. Now, I can already hear people are going to be like, oh, you don't need to max out the range. Once you hit 65 on the range, the one-hit kill distance stays the same. It's like 10 meters or something. Yes, I know that. But it's not all about one-hit kill distance with range. Range does more than just push out the damage falloff. And when we talk about this so often, but it bears repeating, range does multiple things. It pushes out the damage falloff. That's probably the most minor thing that range does. It narrows the accuracy cone so that your shot has less chance of deflecting away from center. That is huge for the accuracy of a weapon.
Yeah.
When you want to start hitting people at the extreme edges of that distance. And then third, it pushes out the aim assist fall off, which is part of it is bullet magnetism, which PC players have, so don't disregard it, because PC players have it. And then the other part is the reticle stickiness, the reticle magnetism, which PC players do not have, but console players do have. And that's very, 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 very important. Yeah. So yes, I know. You probably don't need hammer-forged rifling and accurized rounds. You'll probably be okay with just one of them. And then you can go with maybe like a handling perk in the barrel, right? But you have quick draw. You'll be fine. Like hammer forged rifling, accurized rounds, quick draw, opening shot, and then opening shot actually tacks on like an additional meter to the one hit kill distance and gives you insane aim assist on the first shot. And you're basically always firing the first shot with a slug shotgun.
And I just want to point out too, like, maybe it's something to kind of help cement that range does still have value. Like the Chaperone's range sits at 100. I mean, it is absolutely maxed out. So for me, having played with the Chaperone versus other slug shotguns, the closer we can get to just having everything be the Chaperone, but not be an exotic, the better. Because I want this gun to feel exactly like the Chaperone does.
Yeah. And obviously the Chaperone has some weird stuff to it.
It does.
Like it sits, you remember how Thorn in D1 sat on its own damage curve? Where it had a weird damage fall off that didn't match any other gun.
Yeah.
That was a hand cannon that had the same. So the Chaperone is like that. So the Chaperone has its own manually tuned damage fall off chart. So, you know, even if you were to max out the range on, you know, a good bone structure and get, you know, 98 range or something like that, you're still not going to get the one hit kill distance the Chaperone has, which is fine, right? But it definitely gets easier to use at distance. So, that's curated. If we talk recommended random, it's basically the exact same thing.
Yeah.
The one place I will say you can get something different, two places actually, is if you get hammer forged rifling and you get quick draw, maybe for the magazine, instead of accurized rounds, you go with assault mag.
Yeah.
Assault mag actually increases the rate of fire by 10, which brings the time in between shots down from 0.93 to 0.8 seconds. So if you ever do need a follow-up shot, that now takes you from 0.93 is pretty slow. Most that basically means if you miss, most primaries can kill you before you get your second shot off. 0.8 seconds pushes you up to like Luna's Howl time to kill range, right? So assault mag is not to be overlooked. And say you already got, you know, all the range you want from your barrel perk, assault mag is something to look out for in the magazine. You know, accurized rounds is obviously still there. And then in trait 2, swashbuckler, the neat thing about swashbuckler is that if you get a melee kill, you can one hit body shot kill with these slug shotguns with swashbuckler times 5 up and PvP. So I highly, 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 highly recommend hunting down the Blasphemer in Altars of Sorrow, because this is probably the best legendary slug shotgun that you can use. And it's kinetic.
So So what I really wanna do now is just wind up one shot throwing knife somebody from like 100 meters and then turn and body shot the guardian who's been sneaking up behind me.
I can tell you right now, any swashbuckler slug shotgun is disgusting to use with shoulder charging, any type of shield
Oh
bashing,
yeah.
hammer striking titans. It is absolutely sickening to use.
I'm well aware from being on the receiving end.
Yeah. You see them shoulder charge your teammate and then bap, they just, body shot
Yeah.
you with a slug shotgun and you're like, well, okay.
There were several times where I was like, how did he kill me? Like, I know he didn't get a crit. He didn't even aim.
Yep, and it's
And
that.
that's that. So, a lot of one-shot kill potential in the Destiny world right now. Definitely a lot of ways to take advantage of that.
It's kind of interesting to me that Altars of Sorrow, out of the three weapons, two of the weapons are what I would consider god tier for PvP. And then the last weapon, the rocket launcher, is aggressive. It's called Heretic. It's a arc. Not great for PvP. Not that it can't roll with great perks for PvP, more so that it is a bad archetype for PvP. The aggressive rocket launchers are not great options for PvP. Reason being, they have horrendous blast radius. Heretic actually has the highest out of all of them at 60. Most of them have 55. If you're looking for an example, Bad Omens, the Gambit rocket launcher is one of them. The velocity is really high. That doesn't help as much in PvP. I'm more a fan of blast radius, which is why I'm using Sins of the Past or Roar of the Bear or Sleepless. If you really want something that doesn't have a high blast radius, I would go with Zenobia D, which is the Hake, because at least then it has intrinsic tracking, right? And the thing with Heretic is it can't even roll tracking. So I'm telling you right now, this is not a PvP rocket launcher. There is a PvP roll. You could get Volatile Launch, Black Powder to max out the blast radius. You could get Range Finder for increased velocity, and then you could get Cluster Bomb. That's a very good perk-wise. That's a very good roll for PvP. I think that ends up buffing the blast radius up to like 85 or something, or 83, somewhere around there. So a decent blast radius. But it's just like, why bother when I could get a Sleepless or Sins of the Past and have 95 blast radius,
Yeah.
right? So not a fan of it there. But for PvE, it's a good one, right? Because PvE, you either want tracking for mobile bosses, or you want a ton of velocity and then impact casing for stationary bosses, right? And this one has it. And not only that, but it also has a really, really high reload speed. The reload speed is 62, which is actually I think it's the second fastest of every legendary rocket launcher that's out there, right? And that's a lot more important now that we can't use wells and stuff for auto reloading.
Yeah, the PvE perks are really pretty solid, especially if you've got a nice easy target for a boss, somebody who doesn't move around a whole lot. There are a lot of situations where you can take advantage of that, and it's also very nice if you have a boss who is frequently surrounded by adds who are going to get cleaned up by the cluster bombs, because you can go something like this. You can go hard launch, impact casing for some extra damage on that direct hit. You can get cluster bombs in trait 2, which, because you've got a lower blast radius, is going to really hit that boss very effectively. But then it's also going to help you clean up any adds that happen to be around the boss. And if you've got demolitionist, well, now you're sitting really pretty. And it also gives the gun some additional utility if maybe you've just got a nice cluster of adds, maybe some red bars and a couple of yellow bars that spawned in. You can clean them all up at once, get a grenade back, and that always feels good. Demolitionist is super effective, and if you can clean up five or six adds at once, like that's a lot of grenade energy right there.
The thing I like about Demolitionist too, for boss DPS, is that you can fire a shot, throw a grenade, fire another shot immediately,
Yeah.
right? And it saves you for short DPS windows. It saves you one reload, and you don't stop doing DPS because now you've thrown a grenade too. And with Demolitionist, if you throw a grenade and you have rounds in reserve, it will auto reload one back into the gun. So I'm liking it. Now, as we know, legendary rocket launchers aren't necessarily the best right now for DPS, but it's always a good idea to have a legendary rocket launcher DPS role, at least sitting in the vault, just in case something happens and they get buffed or grenade launchers get nerfed or there's some boss in particular where rocket launchers just work better. It's always a great idea to have that.
Yeah, you always want to have at least one of each kind of tool in reserve because you never know where the pendulum's going to swing. Well, I don't know if you have anything else to say about Heretic.
Well, the curated perks are okay. It's got volatile launch in the barrel, which is great for PvP. It's got quick launch, which is better for PvE. Then in magazine, it's got black powder, which is good for PvP. And it's got implosion rounds, which is good for PvE. Implosion rounds gives it a bonus velocity. Right. And then it's got demolitionist, which is really a PvE perk. And then it's got cluster bombs, which works out for either one. So the curated role is okay. It's not going to be a god role for either one, either for PvP or PvE, but it's going to be what I like to call a three-quarters role. You know, if you were to say there are four possible perks, the best possible perk in each slot gives you 25 points. You know, this is probably sitting at 75 to 85 points out of 100, right? So it's still a very good role, but it's not just the best possible role.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to cap things off with another brief explanation of what the names mean, because that was kind of fun to do. Now, these ones are not nearly so obscure as some of the weapons we've seen before, but I'm going to go in a kind of a different order here. So heretic, of course, is a person who believes or practices, or both, a religious heresy, which is to say they mostly follow a religion, but in at least one important, generally extremely important aspect, they hold an opinion that is completely against what the majority of people in that religion believe. So, like, for example, there was a heresy in early Christianity centering around having orgies all the time. Many early Christians were Romans, and that was just, I guess, you know, that was how the Romans rolled. And so they felt that everyone should be having sex with everybody. Didn't go over well with the other Christians, as you probably can guess. But that's kind of what we're talking about there. An apostate is a person who specifically renounces a given religious or political belief or principle. This would be somebody who maybe was a member of a specific church and they say, you know what, I'm not a member of that church anymore. They would be considered an apostate.
So the opposite of an apostle?
Exactly. Exactly right. They're the literal opposite of an apostle. And then a blasphemer is sort of like taking all of this to the next level. So a blasphemer is somebody who either mocks or insults a deity or religion, or themselves claims to be God, but is not actually God. If they claim to be God and they were, well, then they wouldn't be a blasphemer. That'd be okay.
Sounds like Bungie's trying to tell us a story here.
Yeah.
About some high stuff that's going on.
Yeah, I feel like there's maybe some dissent in the ranks on the Hive side here. Some people not agreeing with those who claim to be gods, perhaps. So, very interesting. I'm always very interested in the names Bungie chooses for their weapons. I think it plays kind of such a big part in sort of the background of the story and what's going on in the greater universe that, you know, sometimes we just shoot our way through problems and we don't really think about it too much. But I like what they do, sneaking this kind of stuff in. So there you have it. That's all I've got.
All right, cool. Well, that's it for the Altars of Sar breakdown, guys. That is going to be the Massive Breakdown podcast for this week. We thank you very much for tuning in. Have a happy, happy, wonderful Thanksgiving if you are an American. Have a fantastic rest of your week if you are not. And we will see you guys next week, hopefully with another weapon breakdown. Or we'll talk about the Dawning because we'll be recording the night of the Dawning stream, I believe. So hopefully we'll have a lot of stuff to talk about there.
Yeah, should be an exciting couple of weeks. I think the day. No, I think the day after the dying stream. So we'll have time to think. You'll have time to catch up.
Perfect, perfect. All right, well, we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Peace.